Welcome back, Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. 770-5790, toll-free, 1-800-687-0790. You can send in your thoughts via email, chad@kfyo.com. That's chad@kfyo.com. As always, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter as well. First voice you hear from when you dial into today's program, Ariel Walden on the other side. Later on in the program, we'll visit with the folks from the Moody Gardens. They will be in studio with us coming up at 9:35. In the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about distracted driving and a story out of Colorado where a school did not want to celebrate America. Did not want to celebrate America. We'll also talk about the Coca-Cola ad and get into a few other things as well. Joining me in studio right now, he's announced his intention to run for city council in District 1, Frank Gutierrez. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on, Chad.
Well, great to have you in studio, and you know, we always like visiting with the candidates. Tell us, the audience who may not know a lot about you, they've heard about you, I'm sure, in the news with the recall petition and everything else, but tell folks a little bit about yourself, your background.
Born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. Some of the folks out there may remember some of the schools we went to. Cape Cotter Elementary over in Avenue Q, presently a drugstore is there. And Carol Thompson Junior High, Lubbock High School, mm-hmm. Texas Tech. So I'm a local boy, and I've been here all my life, and I want to continue doing good things for Lubbock, Texas, and in representing District 1. I think that we're at a point where there is a much-needed change in leadership, and the expectations of the district and the city warrant that. So I'm in it to win it.
Well, and obviously you were part of the recall petition and recall election effort against Councilman Hernandez. Now you're seeking his seat. You go back and you look at the election. Obviously, you're disappointed in that result. How do you change the amount of voters who went out to the polls? How do you change those votes over to an election that is in your favor?
One of the first things we've been doing is going back to the petition signers. And although we were, of course, disappointed in the results, it was successful in that there was a referendum that was put forth to the voters by way of a petition. They responded. And in the process, we were able to learn a few things about what's happening in Lubbock and the effect that many things is having on the taxpayers. And that's one of the reasons that I am in this race, because of what we heard out in people's homes and the concerns that they had. So I want to fight for them, so to speak. And yes, it was disappointing to not have had the positive results on that recall. However, I understand the reasons as to why it may have failed. And one of them, of course, was the timing. We would be in a special election as we speak, and then follow it up 3 months hence with another election in May. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. At the same time, some folks may have forgotten that they did sign a petition. And we also did not have a precedent to work on. Past petitions had failed for various reasons. Ours succeeded because people wanted it. And people wanted to have a voice in a process of local government. And that's an accomplishment in and of itself, because out of the 586 signatures that were collected, only 10 were disqualified.
Right. Now, the folks that you've talked to, that you've spoken with, who want different leadership in District 1, what are some of the areas of concern that they have?
Economic development, for one. We understand that, as a matter of fact, I just came here from the mayor's coffee session, and he shared some very interesting data that we all know of, but putting our finger on it is important. District 1 encompasses much of the Tech campus. We want more of that economic development to stay in District 1 and to continue north to the North University corridor and along Clovis Road. And this is why. The average student at Texas Tech spends $22,000 a year. That boosts the local economy. Texas Tech being the third largest employer of folks here in Lubbock is also very important to Lubbock, Texas. So I want to do more for the district by way of working to develop the economy further in that part of town. There are some promising changes that are coming along because folks are taking an interest and are doing it on their own. Mm-hmm. I think that if we organize and if we push forward on this, that we'll be in a comparable situation in North Lubbock as we have in Southwest Lubbock.
Well, and you've heard, I mean, you've been involved in, you know, local politics on the activist level for a long time. You've heard the discussions before from current council members, past council members, about bringing more economic development into North Lubbock, into East Lubbock. But how do you get that done?
Surely one of the things that that will should work is as the traditional. You reach out and you talk to people and you share with them the good things that are happening in Lubbock, Texas, the growth that is expected, the tax rate that we have. People like Lubbock. And so it's lucrative and it's an attractive city for many in the area. As the industries around us change, more and more people are leaving the small towns, unfortunately, and coming into Lubbock or going elsewhere. But we would like for them to stay here.
Right. Visiting with Frank Gutierrez. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We'll have one more segment with Frank Gutierrez. He's running for District 1 City Council against Victor Hernandez. We'll be right back. Power. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Frank Gutierrez in studio with me. He's running for District 1 City Council. And Frank, we had a drive-by caller who was asking, what kind of economic development do you want in North Lubbock? Residential, industrial, what are you looking at for North?
All kinds. On the one hand, I was looking at the Chamber of Commerce website, and unfortunately, there is not that much representation in that part of town, and it could there are several reasons for that. On the one hand, one of the things that needs to be done is to bring these folks and invite them to be part of the chamber because they need the help. At the same time, being that we're so close to the tech area, it's important to develop it so that the folks there can also have an opportunity to be able to benefit from the good things that Texas Tech offers. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. On the other hand, it's a matter of talking to people, talking to developers, for example. But at the same time, the folks in the area should develop an interest and should rile up, so to speak, by way of the vote. If we show an increase in the vote, obviously that's going to bring some attention to the area. But
do you think that's going to be key in your campaign, is getting people to the polls?
Well, I see the interest because of the issues that we've all heard about and know about. And there is a spike in the interest more than average. And that's encouraging because of the almost daily publicity that people see on the issues surrounding City Hall. So that in our campaign, we're focusing heavily on the one-on-one, door-to-door, the traditional stuff, the grassroots. Mm-hmm. And I've got a large family, and I mean, it's huge. And I'm working on them because they can be just as apathetic as anybody else. But at right. the same time, they're my family, and they need to support me.
What are some of the other key issues as far as city council goes? You'll be working with a lot of other people, and there are a lot of important issues coming up, whether it's power for LPNL, power generation. Fracking is a major issue that's out there as well. What are some of the key issues that you think city council will need to be focusing on going forward?
Of course, the most important one probably is the LPNL issue. And my position on that is that we have to allow the process, the RFP process currently and going on, to write its course and then make a decision based on the recommendations of the RFP results. It just has to be done soon because we're due to have our contract expire in 2019. So there's a need to have this process work itself out, and I look forward to listening to the recommendations of the LPNL board.
When it comes to fracking, what are your thoughts on that?
Fracking, I have a friend who is very passionate about that issue, and it caught my attention because of the potential for pollution and the effect that it has on the groundwater supply. And that's a concern because, as you are aware, we're in the Great American Desert many years back. And water is a concern, and we should be addressing that issue as well. But as far as fracking is concerned, I think that we have the usual regulations in place that will oversee that. And it's something that at the city level, there are some issues that should be discussed. But at the same time, it's more of a regulatory issue.
Obviously, downtown Lubbock and downtown revitalization, huge issue. A lot of people talking about that. What does the city need to do as far as going into downtown and revitalizing the area? How much private money versus public money needs to go into downtown revitalization? When you look at the entire process, how do you vision that?
Having been in Lubbock all my life, I've seen the decline of businesses in downtown Lubbock. At one time, it was thriving in the 50s and 60s, especially. And due to the creation of malls, we have had a flight from the downtown area, and everybody experienced that. However, being that it's so close to Texas Tech, it's important for us to consider the options made available to us because the future of the city is at stake. And if we have an average spending per student of at least $22,000 per year, then we should have more readily available entertainment, for example, businesses in the area to cater to the students. As far as how to pay for it, the less that the taxpayers have to pay, the more attention that it'll get. It's up to the developers. I think that Mr. McDougall has a good handle on that, and I think he has to be given the opportunity to be able to deliver on the expectations that have been laid before him.
Bond issues, obviously going to be part of probably the next city council and beyond. What do you think, as far as a bond issue goes, what do you think the priority should be when a bond issue comes up?
Public safety, of course, is number one on my list of priorities, and it should be left up to the voters as to what they want to fund. Of course, we always have to be careful that the cost is minimal to the taxpayers because we always take a hit. However, because of the expected growth of Lubbock, because of the changes that are coming in and of itself, if we do nothing, they're still going to happen. But if we prepare for it, then we'll have a much better environment for everyone.
Are there some specific projects, though, that you would like to see on a bond election or left off a bond election? Right now, of course, they're kicking around an idea for the Goedeke Library, putting that on a bond election, new police station. Also, they're kicking around the idea of tornado sirens, and there's lots of other stuff. It could be a grab bag.
There's a wish list of projects that folks need to consider. As I mentioned, public safety is first and foremost for me. We have to have safe neighborhoods. On the question of tornado sirens, I grew up here in Lubbock, and I remember when they wailed in the middle of a storm, and they were effective. Scary at times, but effective. But they're needed. And again, the question and the challenge to me is how to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as public safety, again, the old police station downtown, that's quite old, and there's some concerns there. We have to put it on the table because of the expectations for the city. If we have a more modern police station, for example, we will be able to provide the public safety services that are needed. Having said that, I've toured the county jail, and it is high-tech, of course, and that is the kind of facility I think that Lubbock should have as a police station, because it is efficient. It is the main concern is, of course, the safety of the public. And at the same time, people are treated in a manner where if they've made a mistake, then they're processed and then they're separated into different pods to where they'll justice will be administered.
Looking at the city council right now, taxes are going to be a big issue going forward. They're always a big issue. When it comes down to the budget, everyone talks about either raising taxes, leaving taxes where they are, decreasing taxes. What is your philosophy when it comes to the tax rate?
Taxes are needed at some point. You have to consider it. You have to discuss it. However, we're already overtaxed. And Lubbock being Lubbock, folks are going to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends on what it would be for. But if it's for public safety, for example, then you'd have to consider it. Otherwise, I would not be in a position to be able to support tax increases.
So for the most part, unless it was for public safety, you'd be against raising taxes?
Well, I'm not against anything. I'm more willing to have the facts laid before me, and then we make a decision based on the facts.
Visiting with Frank Gutierrez, running for city council in District 1. Overall, if you could grade this city council, not just the district that you're running for, but this city council, what would you say about the city council overall? What would you bring to them?
Governing for any at any level of government is always difficult because you're dealing with human beings. And Lubbock has such a unique has unique features in that we have a highly charged community where people are passionate about their issues. And as far as the city council itself is concerned, I think that they're doing the best they can under the circumstances. For example, allowing citizen comment is good because you hear from those that you govern. But at the same time, we should be civil about the way we do business. And that means, and the perception of the divisiveness is there because of the issues. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors in executive session, but at the same time, that's government for you. And the more, as far as the public perception is concerned, the more we show that there is a spirit of cooperation, the better off we will be.
Do you think that this council, LPNL, there's been some tension there? Do you think that'll get better within time?
It should, because of the needs of the area. There has to be some, at some point, there's going to have to be a decision made. That's why I mentioned that the RFP process has to run its course. If that doesn't work, then we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're talking about having to make a decision, and that's going to be up to the recommendations of the LPNL board.
Frank Gutierrez, appreciate your time today. We'll have you back in studios. The election process continues. It's a long process, fairly long, so we'll have you back in studio here in a couple of months or so.
Look forward to it.